Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
When I get dressed for a party and I know you're going to be there, let's just say I don't go strapless because my husband likes it.
What if Victor and I don't like each other?
As if that has anything to do with marriage.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, in the 32 years that Kathy and I have been married, there have been a number of books that have helped us enjoy a more satisfying marriage. One of the best is called His Needs, Her Needs. It's by Dr. Willard Harley. Well, over the years, Dr. Harley has helped thousands of couples improve the quality of their marriages, and he is a rather outspoken advocate for defending traditional marriage, and that's not always a popular opinion in the culture which we live in today. Well, during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Dr. Willard Harley on defending traditional marriage and avoiding the love busters that can make your life miserable for you and for your spouse. Well, it's going to be a great program today on Homeward, so keep it right here.
We're talking marriage today on Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, broadcasting as always from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, newly minted members of NCAA Division II. And if you'd like to learn more about the school, we encourage you to do so. You go to homeward.com. There's an APU link on our website if you're not there already. Homeward is here to equip you with the tools that you need to improve every relationship in your family, whether it's your marriage or relationships with your kids, or if you're an adult child, your relationship with your parents once they're getting older. You can learn more about all the resources we have available for you at homeward.com. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns with part one of today's program.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about In Defense of Traditional Marriage. It's part two of a conversation with Dr. Willard Harley. And Dr. Willard Harley is a clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, best known as the author of the internationally best-selling book, His Needs, Her Needs. Actually, one of the most influential books in Kathy's in my life when it comes to our marriage. He's been married for 42 years to his wife, Joyce, and they live in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Two adult children who are also working as marriage counselors and four grandchildren. White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Dr. Harley, welcome. You got to tell us where that is.
Very cold. White Bear Lake is just a suburb of the Twin Cities.
Yeah, which is a beautiful, beautiful place to live.
So we love it there.
Absolutely a beautiful place. Now, you were talking before the program started to me about an incredible experience that you had with MTV. I don't think of you and MTV, but you had the story, and I wanted you to tell our listeners
the story. Yeah, this was totally totally unexpected, but they have a reality show called Meet the Barkers. Barker is the drummer for the rock band Blink 182. He is in bed with his tattoos and all, and his wife pops up out of the covers, and she has a copy of His Needs, Her Needs. And he reaches over to the nightstand and grabs his copy of His Needs, Her Needs, and the two of them lay together in bed reading His Needs, Her Needs and filling out one of the questionnaires. And of course, I was expecting them to trash the book, as soon as they started reading it. But it was very respectful, very encouraging. And what it did was it gave me the awareness of the fact that it reaches people everywhere. I could tell you stories about villages in Africa where they have no roads going to the village. And there is a man there who has become the village marriage counselor, who has translated His Needs, Her Needs into the native language and is teaching the people there in Zambia how to have great marriages.
Isn't that amazing? Did you ever expect that when you wrote that book?
I didn't. It was a book that reflected what I'd been teaching people for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And a salesman for a book company was one of the people that I helped train and to help his marriage. And he said, this has got to be written up in a book. And so he shepherded me to his company, Revell, and we got it published, and the rest is history.
Well, I'm glad that that man shepherded you, because it's not only been an influence to millions of people, but to Kathy and me as well. Remind us once again on how you define what a traditional marriage is.
A traditional marriage basically comes from wedding vows. If you look at your typical wedding vow, it has four parts to it. The first part is extraordinary care. I will love you and cherish you in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want. In other words, I'm going to take good care of you no matter what. And then the second is permanence, till death do us part, that we're going to be in this thing for life. The third is sexual exclusivity, which means I'll be faithful to you. There will be no other. It's going to be you and me. And then the fourth is between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. One man, one woman. That's what traditional marriage is. So it's four parts: extraordinary care, permanence, sexual exclusivity, and between one man and one woman.
And you have a concern because you're saying that's not where our nation is going. It's going in a different direction.
We have had traditional marriage eroded now for the last 75 years. Mm-hmm. There has been an onslaught of laws that have been passed, cultural changes that have taken place, special interest groups that have popped up that have all been attacking traditional marriage. And we have seen the results of that, which is an extraordinary level of divorce. And even among the families that are not divorced, they are struggling at an unprecedented level.
Well, you were talking in the last program that there's actually an incredible amount of people who actually are not divorced, but they don't live together.
That's right. As a matter of fact, there are more and more books written on how to stay married by not having anything to do with each other. And you know,
there's an oxymoron.
And I mentioned that in this book. I actually name various writers who have, as their solution to the marital problem, living separate lives.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. What's the answer to this?
Well, the answer, of course, is to understand what traditional marriage is and get back to the basics. And my argument has always been that it starts with extraordinary care. This is what we promise each other when we're first married. We say we will love each other. What does that mean? I define extraordinary care. It's the longest section of this book, you know, because I want people to get it right. It is making each other happy by meeting emotional needs. It is not making each other unhappy. It is avoiding hurting each other by avoiding what I call love busters. And then it's making decisions that are in both husband and wife's best interest simultaneously, developing a lifestyle where you can both be happy. That's what extraordinary care is. And it's thinking about the other person whenever you do something. It's bonding to each other.
You know, one of the things that I learned from you in the last program was that if you're going to give extraordinary care, you've got to give it an extraordinary amount of time to it as well.
First of all, you have to recognize that 24/7 you are married.
Yes.
And that everything you do during that time is something that will influence your spouse and your relationship. But there's also what I call intimate emotional needs that require a special separation of time, 15 hours a week for undivided attention to meet four specific needs.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying that because you've raised the bar, but it also makes a lot of sense. And I can't think of somebody who, if they would give their spouse those 15 hours, who would probably have, I mean, they're going to have moments in their marriage, they're going to have some struggles, but it's going to help them greatly to develop this incredible intimacy. Why do people have affairs?
Well, there are many reasons. The most basic reason is that we're all sinners, and that we do disgraceful things, and we're wired for it. I am, as a Christian, wired to have affairs. I could have an affair tomorrow if I let myself go. And so it's something that if we don't avoid, we will probably do. It's the way sin works. If you don't think about sin, you're going to end up committing it. There is another way of looking at it, and that is that affairs are much easier to get into if important emotional needs are not being met in marriage. So there's two sides to this. One is that as a human being, as a Christian, as a husband, I owe it to my wife and to the Lord never to have an affair. But the other way of looking at it is that my wife, Joyce, can make it a whole lot easier for me to avoid an affair if she'll meet my intimate emotional
sure,
needs.
Sure, 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 exactly. You have something called the curse, in your book, Defending Traditional Marriage, you have something called the curse of infidelity.
Well, infidelity is something that is about the worst thing a spouse can do to the other spouse. Mm-hmm. When we were talking earlier about cherishing, loving, extraordinary care, among the things that would be the most disgraceful, the most destructive, the most damaging, infidelity pretty much tops the list.
Sure.
And yet, in more than half of all marriages, one spouse has an affair. For me as a marriage counselor, it's incredible to be aware of the fact that this affects non-Christians and Christians alike. As a matter of fact, my estimate is that it is as common in Christian marriages as it is in non-Christian marriages. And so people need to defend themselves against infidelity by understanding that, number one, it's the worst thing you can do to your spouse. And number two, it's likely to happen.
That is an amazing comment. We're going to have to take a break right at that comment. When we come back, you're going to have to give us some hope. How do we affair-proof our marriage? And you've got some real practical things in your book on how to affair-proof our marriage. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
Good conversation today here on the Homeward broadcast. Not always easy to hear, as you heard a couple of nervous chuckles there between Willard Harley and Dr. Jim Burns. In Defense of Traditional Marriage is our theme. Willard Harley has written a number of great books on this topic, as has Dr. Jim Burns. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's books, you can go to homeward.com if you're not there already. Remember, we're streaming audio, so if you missed any portion of this program or you might have not heard part one of their conversation, it's in the archives at homeward.com. Good way to avoid that happening in the future is to podcast along with us. If you go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button, it'll take you right to our iTunes account. You can set up a free subscription, and then that way you will not miss a moment of Homeward programming as long as your iPod's all synced up and charged. And I know that's sometimes a challenge. I know it is in the world of my son with his iPod. Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. We can't do this without you. Thanks so much for your tax-deductible donations even right now. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
This is Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to a real-life question. And the question is, how do I keep my marriage a priority when my spouse and I spend so much time involved in activities with our kids? Well, it's no secret that your kids need you. They need your time, they need your attention, your love, and your support. That's a good thing. However, there's a tendency among parents to put the needs of our children ahead of our relationship with our spouse, and that's where we often unknowingly make a mistake. If you're neglecting your spouse, you're actually doing your kids a disservice, because children who grow up in a child-focused marriage will have a difficult time knowing what a good marriage looks like. Well, the quality of your marriage is huge when it comes to your child's sense of what the marriage is supposed to be. And when you make your relationship with your spouse a priority, you will provide a sense of security for your kids. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Refocusing to Make Your Spouse Feel Special Again, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with Real Life Answers. You have a little section in your book on how to affair-proof your marriage, and I liked it a lot. You can see that there was kind of underlined and there's some notes. Mention a couple of the ways that we can affair-proof our marriage.
The one way to affair-proof your marriage is found in my book, His Needs, Her Needs, which is meeting each other's emotional needs.
Exactly.
But I'm going to skip that right now,
right.
And I'm going to go to the other way to affair-proof your marriage, which is to not let someone else meet your intimate emotional needs.
Yeah.
And that's really the key. The key is that in your life, there are four emotional needs that should be reserved for your spouse to meet. And somebody of the opposite sex should never have an opportunity to meet those needs. Now the question is, how do most affairs start? They don't start with sex.
Yeah.
And often they don't start with affection.
Right.
They start with intimate conversation and recreational companionship. So basically the rule is, don't talk about personal issues with anyone but your wife, or somebody that your wife wouldn't mind you having a conversation with.
Right.
Certainly not with somebody of the opposite sex.
Right.
So if it's something personal that's affecting you, make sure the other person isn't of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And then if you're enjoying yourself recreationally, make sure your spouse is there to enjoy it with you.
Right.
Don't have your favorite recreational activities with somebody of the opposite sex. Now, Joyce and I have been doing this from day one when we were first married. I was aware of the fact that I would be likely to have an affair, mainly because there were so many affairs in my family.
Yeah.
You see, now I've discovered that I was likely to have an affair because I'm a human being.
Right.
You see?
And the boundaries, we need to set them really quite conservative. So if we step over those boundaries, we're saying, well, we're not in a major danger zone, but we're moving toward that danger zone.
That's right. It's easier for me to keep the rules that I've set because Joyce meets my emotional needs. Right. That is a component of all this that I encourage couples to do that for each other. But an important point that I've made is that I know of couples where they've done a good job meeting each other's emotional needs, and they still have an affair.
Right.
Because they don't take these other precautions.
Right. When somebody comes into your office and they say, we're not having a physical affair, but we're having an emotional affair. It's just we're having these kinds of conversations. Do you tell them to stop the relationship right away, immediately? What do you tell them in that
case? I've had both comments. One is that I haven't had a physical affair. Mm-hmm. It's only been emotional. Or I've had a sexual affair, but it hasn't been emotional. Yeah. And you see, both of those are ridiculous. Right. I mean, basically, if you're in love with somebody emotionally, if you're attached to that person, it's an extremely dangerous relationship. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you've had sex with somebody, it is an affair.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But we have affairs where sex is not involved because we become emotionally attached. And so, again, if you find yourself to be incredibly attracted to somebody, but they don't yet know how you feel, it is extremely important to get away from that person.
Right.
Don't tempt fate. Don't say, well, I think I can handle this.
Yeah. Talk to the person who's in an office and the partner in the marketing firm or something is of the opposite sex, and this man, we'll say it's a man, is thinking about what he's wearing, not to please his wife, but what he's to please this woman, and he has had intimate conversations, and yet they work together. I mean, they're stuck, so to speak, if they're going to stay in that same job. What do you say to that man?
Well, most people switch jobs 7 times during their lifetime, and I would say that that's one of the times that would be appropriate. They have 6 more left.
and if they've done 7 or 8, then there's some people who don't switch jobs, they still need to do it.
I have talked so many people into changing jobs just because there's somebody in the workplace that they happen to find attractive, and they thank me years later for the move. It not only made them more successful in their business, but it helped them miss a bullet.
No, that's absolutely true. What do you say to the couple who has a son or a daughter who's perhaps growing up and maybe they're in college or whatever, and they come home and they say to mom and dad, I'm a lesbian, or mom and dad, I'm a homosexual? What do you say to that?
Well, I've had many, many parents come to me with that very thing, and I've worked with scores of homosexual men and women. They are a very sad group of people. We call them gay. To me, it is an incredible word to use for a population of people that are so depressed so much of the time. In working with parents, I, of course, work with their children as well. And the question I ask is, wouldn't you be a lot happier if you found yourself as attracted to members of the opposite sex? Wouldn't your life be much smoother? Wouldn't the problems that you're facing, broken relationships, with everything that goes on in the gay lifestyle, wouldn't you be happier if you could feel the way you do toward members of the same sex, if you could feel that way toward members of the opposite sex? And I have proven over and over and over again that these people can achieve that objective. They can have the same attraction to members of the opposite sex as they do the same sex. They don't have to be in the gay lifestyle. And I think that what we're teaching children in schools today is that when you're born to feel the way you do, and from my perspective, there are countless illustrations of people that have proven that to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. And this is a part of your concern in defense of traditional marriage, that even at a government level, we're really changing the definition of marriage.
Well, and we're also not doing a fairly small but significant part of our population a great disservice by not helping them get out of what I see as a very tragic situation. The gay lifestyle is not gay. It's not happy. It's not fulfilling. It's not anything we would want ourselves to be involved in, or we certainly wouldn't want our children to be involved in. And when we tell people that this is okay and they're happy and they have pride and they have parades, those of us that work with this population know differently. They are very unhappy. And the parents of children who are homosexual know firsthand how suicidal their children are, how unhappy they are, and how they need help.
Well, how can we as Christians work to preserve the institution of traditional marriages in America today?
Well, you start with your own marriage.
Right.
And you begin there and you say, we're going to make our marriage terrific. And we're going to raise children that know what traditional marriage is all about. And they're going to know that it begins with extraordinary care. Mm-hmm. And they're going to raise their children to have traditional marriages. But we can also do one more thing, and that is try to change our laws. Mm-hmm. We can try to make our laws more marriage friendly instead of more marriage unfriendly. And the way it is right now, the laws in America make traditional marriage very, very difficult to sustain. And I, for one, would like to see that turned around.
Well, thank you for making a difference. Thank you for writing a book like this. Thank you for your courage and really for your incredible wisdom. What an honor to have you on our program today.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Willard Harley, author of the books His Needs, Her Needs, and Defending Traditional Marriage. Got a new devotional coming out not too long from now that he co-authored with his wife Joyce called Draw Close, and we're grateful to have had him on the program the past couple of days here on the Homeward broadcast. If you missed any part of this broadcast, you'll want to go to homeward.com where we're streaming audio, and you can review the program again, program material in its entirety, even share it with a friend. Jim, a little disturbing in some parts when we think about what's happening with traditional marriage in our culture, but I know there is some hope. Take the final moments of our time together here and give us some hope.
There are no cookie-cutter formulas for keeping a marriage going and growing strong, but in my years of counseling and ministry, and during the 32 years I've been married to Kathy, I have noticed a few principles that can help you keep the spark in your marriage alive. Now, in these closing moments, I'd like to share them with you. Number one is keep in mind kids would rather have parents who like each other than have all the gadgets and goodies in the world. And one of the best things that you can do for your kids is to love your spouse. And that means that if you're not actively courting your spouse right now, well, start doing so. I urge you to do that. Establish a weekly date night and then stay on that schedule. Your marriage will thrive and your kids will benefit from it also. It sounds so simple, but it really does make a difference. Secondly, ruthlessly eliminate stress. Families today are way too overcommitted, and that means they're underconnected. Now, I'm not saying that you need to end all of your extracurricular activities. Just find a rhythm that's right for your family, that works for everyone, and then stick with it. You probably have to make some courageous decisions on that. The absence of stress will lead to the creation of more opportunities for each member of the family to genuinely connect. And so again, you may have to make some decisions about that one. Thirdly is make spiritual intimacy a priority with your spouse. You know, the couples who regularly pray together, who worship together, seem to have healthier marriages. And prayer helps to restore balance and priorities in a marriage, any marriage, because it recognizes that God loves both partners equally and that you're including God in the relationship. Interestingly enough, very important that you hear this. Research shows that the happiest couples are those who pray together. In fact, believe it or not, couples who pray together are twice as likely as those who don't to describe their marriage as being highly romantic. Well, that's an interesting one. And prayer draws couples and families closer together. Well, what's the point here? One of the best ways to keep the spark of your marriage alive is to develop and grow spiritual intimacy with your spouse. And perhaps the best way to do that is to pray together regularly.
That's a great idea, Jim. And I know that that was part of the heart of behind what you and Kathy wrote in your book, Closer, that devotional book for couples. If you don't like the idea of doing daily devotions or even weekly devotions, have a faith conversation with your spouse. It's amazing how when you have a faith conversation, it kind of takes some of the pressure off of the teaching element or feeling like, well, Jim Burns went to seminary, but I didn't go to seminary, so how can my spouse and I have a great, meaningful experience spiritually together if we don't have the proper training? Well, use a book like Closer by Jim and Kathy Burns. It's available for purchase in our online resource center, and you can learn more about that at homeward.com. Also, the book Faith Conversations for Families, where Jim has put together a number of helpful tips to help you and your family have some faith conversation time as well. You can learn how to kind of make any time devotion time when you get right down to it. Those are very, very important components for strengthening your marriage and strengthening your family. And if you'd like information on ordering these or any of the other resources that Dr. Jim Burns has published, you'll find that information information at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.